All right. Rich Walz is also with us today. And Rich, of course, you hear him on CBS radio all the time. He does so many games, MLB Network. Rich and I have known each other for years. I learned so much from Rich, a pregame host for the Seattle Mariners and a longtime broadcaster for the Florida Marlins, Miami Marlins, or whatever else you want to call them.
Called some Giants games last year.
Exactly right. And I love talking ball with Rich, and I want Rich to come on today and talk a little bit of Marlin baseball and Oriole baseball and just what's going on in baseball. So, Rich, nice to have you with us.
You know, Marty, one of the things I learned from you is how to plug a product, and I was impressed that your grandson he's right there with you. I mean, Baseballism is a great shop across the street from Oracle, and I'm sure he got a nice shirt for that, right?
I mean, yeah. Ducks on the Pond.
Way to go.
Yeah, he's got Ducks on the Pond, so that's what he's got. Hey, great to have you with us. Adam Copeland is here with me. And, Rich, you're doing a lot of work on CBS and MLB. What's up with you these days?
Just that. You know, I actually get to dive into the college game next week. I'm doing a regional for ESPN, which for me is interesting because, I've been in Major League Baseball for about 25 years. And I played college baseball, so to jump back into it and call games is really fascinating. ESPN threw me on an ACC and an SEC game about a month ago just to get my feet wet. And I got to work with Javi. Javi, who I worked with on the Giants games last year, he pitched at the University of Virginia, so he and I got to do a game. So that's next weekend. I'm not sure where I'm going, but always happy for the invite.
Beautiful. All right. Rich Walz is with us. Rich, the Giants go into Miami, and you're intimately acquainted with the ballpark and what goes on with the Marlins. Of course, you broadcast there for so many years. We were not really in touch with them, although I did see them win six in a row, and I thought they were going for seven until the Nationals came back and beat them last night, 12-10. What should we expect from the Marlins? Because you know you've done these games. Giants have had trouble down there.
I think for Giants fans, this is going to be an interesting road trip because, let's face it, the San Francisco Giants are in a reboot, rebuild, whatever you want to call it. They're completely in that mode right now. And they're going to see three teams really on this trip that are kind of different in how they've approached things. The Marlins are a team that you won't recognize much at all in terms of personnel. There's a lot of mystery names on there. They've been able to get some decent pitching, some young guys, Caleb Smith, Trevor Richards, Brian Anderson, a really good rookie year last year, is hot right now. But, you know, Miami is in a full-blown, you know, burn the forest, and that started last year. This is year two of it. They're last in home runs, last in doubles. They don't even have a triple this year. They are the very basement of slugging percentage. So not a lot of power, some decent starting pitching, and not a bad bullpen. I think that's what you're going to see. But they're, I think, I've been listening to your show today, and Bruce Jenkins talked a little bit about the rebuild and how it goes. If you're a Giants fan, don't look at Miami and say that's what San Francisco is going to be like for the next two or three years, because I think they've done it differently than a lot of the other clubs. And then Baltimore is the next stop. And I think for Miami and Baltimore, a lot of the rebuilds and the burn the forest mentality is more economically driven than anything. And then those franchises see that as their only way to do this without maybe spending a lot of money. So, Miami's it's a big park. It's a place similar to the Giants Park. So it's not a home run park. They did move the fences in a couple years ago to make it, not small, but a little bit smaller. It's still a big yard. And as you know, you grew up down in Miami. The ball doesn't fly all that well there. So you got to do a lot of little things right. I think it's a good place for the Giants. I think it's going to be a good trip for the Giants. First Miami with a team that's, even though they just won six in a row, they're playing better, but certainly a team that the Giants should expect to go in and get some wins on. And then Baltimore, remember the Cincinnati series where the Giants were in Cincinnati, how much fun that was? That's Baltimore right now. I mean, no one's giving up more home runs than the Orioles. They're they're going to break the major league record for home runs allowed if they stay at this pace in like mid-August, which is pretty incredible.
We're talking to Rich Walts, and the Giants getting ready to head down to Florida. You mentioned, you know, not a lot of guys on the team anybody would really pay any attention to or know much about. Can you tell us about Caleb Smith? He's one of the starting pitchers, maybe the one guy that I look at, and I think this is a guy who could be a frontline rotation guy, having a decent season, nine starts, a 2.38 ERA right now, a whip under one. Just tell us about Caleb Smith.
Yeah, I think anytime you have a rebuilding, the good news about when you rebuild to this extent, which is essentially wipe everything off the board from front office to players. I mean, they traded away two National League MVPs in Stanton and Yelich and another two-time All-Star in Ozuna and then another All-Star in Real Muto and another All-Star in D. Gordon and a lot of the other, you know, pieces that were part of that team. So the good news is you get a chance for hitters to get 300 to 400 at bats. You get a chance to see starters make 20 to 25 starts. You get a barometer, and there's no pressure. There's no expectations. And like I said, a lot of it is economically driven as well. But a guy like Caleb Smith, who they got in a trade from the Yankees, has really had an impact and has won games and beaten teams. And it's hard. I mean, the Giant pitchers probably can attest to this. When you're not scoring runs, there's a lot of pressure on your starting pitcher to be darn near perfect or feel like you have to be, you know, give up two or three runs to really have a shot at winning them. And to this young man's credit, he's had it. He's done that nicely. He's been able to avoid putting that pressure on himself. And so he's one of their he's certainly an all-star candidate, and he's one of the real nice success stories down there.
Hey, Rich, you know, they have the team meeting, and they go over the hitters, and they say, don't let this guy beat you. Well, when Ozuna was there, Yelich was there, and Stanton was there, you know, okay. Who's the guy? Martin Prado? Who do you say, don't let this guy beat you?
No, Brian Anderson is the guy. He came up as a third baseman. They've had him in right field. You've probably seen him on some of the highlights with his throwing arm. He's been terrific in right. He's thrown out a bunch of people. And he's got power, and he's an all-star caliber player right now. He just is doing it in obscurity, and he's hot right now. And this is, you know, when you have a team of nobodies and guys that are hungry, all of a sudden things will go right, and they'll get on a nice win streak, and they've done that. They lost yesterday. Their bullpen blew a big lead in D.C. in what was a messy game. But Brian Anderson's the guy. Don't let Brian Anderson beat you.
All right, and Romo is the closer. How about that? So the Giants are going to see Romo. Maybe.
I think so. I mean, I think it's important to have a guy like that. You know, Marty, and like we said, they're rebuilding in a completely different way. So are the Orioles. They're a somewhat anonymous team that can't pitch and give up a lot of home runs. And it got me to thinking, because you and I have talked about, you know, what the Giants are going through. And the question is, how do you rebuild without completely detonating and demolishing your team? And it's doable. If you look at the teams in baseball that have had success, or that teams like the Giants are trying to emulate, right? The first place you look is probably the Astros, then the Cubs. Red Sox did it. The Braves have done it. Even the Brewers, to some extent, did it. And all of those clubs were unique. I think the Cubs and the Astros really, you know, cleared the deck and went player development. And like Bruce said, they both had great ballparks and great traditions that helped keep the fans around for those 2 years before they emerged and really started to go. The Red Sox and the Braves and the Brewers, I think, will be closer to the Giants model in that those teams kept some big-name players around during that time. I mean, 14 and 15 was not good for the Red Sox, but those teams had Pedroia and Napoli and Hanley Ramirez near the end for Big Poppy. The Braves, when they really started to remodel and refurbish, Freddie Freeman was an anchor at first. I see Posey as that guy. They got Nick Markakis because they wanted the young players to come up and see firsthand what a big leaguer looks like, plays like, acts like, and the Brewers had a really good team when they were losing 95 games in 15. Braun was there, Luke Croy, Segura, Scooter Jeanette, young Chris Davis. So I know for Giant fans, I guess what I'm saying is on this trip, don't look at Miami and don't look at Baltimore and say this is what we're going to have to endure here for 2 or 3 or 4 years. I think the Giants rebuild will have a little more resemblance to the Braves or maybe Cubs or Astros. And the thing that those teams had as well, Red Sox, Cubs, Astros, Braves, is financially they were able to, once they started the rebuild with draft picks and international signings and making really good trades with assets that they were willing to trade, once they did that, they had the finances and the money to supplement and then go get what they needed after that. The Cubs are a great example. All of their early trades and acquisitions were position players, and then when they were ready to go, they went and got the Lackeys and the Lesters, and they did that with just free agent contracts and some trades.
Boy, it's going to be fun. Honestly, I like the way you delineated the Orioles, Miami from the Giants and other teams, so it's a good analysis of it. Well, I hope the Giants hit some home runs in Baltimore. Everybody else does.
Yeah.
Everybody else, they're killing the Orioles. And then Miami, the Giants have always had trouble there. So we'll see what happens. But no great arch structure anymore in the outfield. So that they don't have to look at that anymore. So they could look at the Clevelander club. They can focus on that now.
Hey, well, great. And if they look out the windows, they can see your old stomping grounds, right? I mean, you were a holy terror in Miami before you became a lawyer. That's the reputation that you still have down there.
The house that Marty built.
You'd have to go to Miami Beach for that. But all right. Hey, Rich, I love having you on, and we'll catch up with you tomorrow because there are other parts of baseball I want to chat with you tomorrow.
Anytime, Marty. Thank you.
All right. Very good.